Avatar is back.
This is Appa, my flying bison.
Right. And this is Katara, my flying sister.
That's right, I'm Sokka. It's pronounced with an Akka.
My name is Toph Beifong, and I'll need 4 tickets.
My name is Zuko, Prince of the Fire Nation, and heir to the throne.
Don't flatter yourself.
You lost me at Zuko.
Zuko, you look so cute.
I can tell you're lying.
Why would I let go of Katara? I love her.
Anybody got a problem with that?
You'll have to leave now. Your lemur is harassing our sparrow keys.
Those are enemy birds.
Even that oaf knows to concentrate on what he's doing.
He does have a heart, doesn't he?
Come on!
Shuffle on, I get you.
Stay flaming. Now, check this out.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DonWuFang.net. I'm your main host for today, Dylan, and I'm joined by several co-hosts, Abby.
Hi.
Jake.
Hello.
Martin.
Hello.
After a long break, Joe.
Player. No.
I'm not even going to comment. And Ruth.
Salute.
Yes. So yeah, Joe's back. Everyone rejoice.
Or yay!
One of those dudes. Okay, so what? So send questions to us at podcast@dongufang.net. Send us questions you have about Avatar for the mailbag segment. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. The podcast page is dongufang.net/podcast, and the podcast page now has all the links to all the places you can listen to the podcast, and there are many. So yeah. So today's podcast will have the news and views on DonWuFang and Avatar News. We'll move on to the 313 title discussion, which was revealed by DonWuFang. And then we'll have a mailbag segment. 14 letters, very long, and we'll close things out. So let's start with our news and views. Okay, and DonWuFang news for this week. Winter event, the most wonderful time of the year, is here. We'll be announcing the 313 through 317 titles all throughout the winter. Currently, we have just revealed the 313 episode title. It is The Firebending Masters. We will discuss it next segment. The title choices for 314 will be put up on New Year's. Or, if YTV doesn't screw us up, we'll show you New Year's, if not earlier. So, and in Avatar news, Book 3, Volume 2, DVD, will not be including Episode 311. So you'll get the first half of the invasion on Volume 2, and the second half of the invasion on Volume 3. And no, it doesn't make sense.
Excellent.
Okay, and...
sense from a money standpoint.
All I can say is if common sense was so common, then it wouldn't be called...
Wow, isn't that so rare?
We've said this like 3 times on this on the podcast, Joe. It's not
well, funny. I'm just reiterating your rejunctive statement.
So,
I don't even know shit.
So yeah, 313 has aired in it hasn't.
Canada.
312 has aired in Canada. And
don't worry, bro. I've
Canada, man.
It's
Canada.
Don't watch it, please. If I ask nicely, you're not allowed. No, you won't. So I don't really give it. I'm just like.
Oh, wait, Dale. Let me try this.
Open everything. So yeah, I'm like go emo because of this.
So, cheer up, okay.
Guys, if you watch
You've
this,
always
you,
been
are
emo, Dylan.
You are degrading yourselves to a lower stature than that is rock bottom, and therefore you will be sent to a for you Buddhists, you will never reach Nirvana if you watch 312.
Hey, Joe, can you send me the link, please? Can you send me the link on? come on,
good thing, buddy.
Oh,
all right, I'll have it up in a second.
So yes, this is the team that is Joe and Martin now. This is gonna be terrible. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what the bet.
So yeah, let's move on to our 313 title discussion. As said earlier, the 313 title has been revealed by DonWuFang. It is The Firebending Masters. 313 will be written by John O'Brien, best writer ever, and directed by Giancarlo Volpe. So,
suckiest.
No, the best writer ever.
What about Ethan Spaulding?
Mr. Spaulding's the best director ever, see.
What about Eos?
Aaron Eos is the best writer.
You're taking away from my point, okay? So, yeah. Okay, I just want everyone's initial reactions on the title. Like, what you think right now.
Haha, I told you so.
I'm gonna see some firebending.
I've learned the
firebending.
Okay, let's go down the list, Abby.
Yay, firebending, finally.
That's your reaction, okay, Jake. Well, we've
awesomeness.
Martin.
Yes.
Aha, uh-huh, I told you so.
That's a good reaction, Joe.
Now, here's theory number one that I promised for you guys. The firebending masters, when masters is plural, they're not just referring to Zuko and Iroh. I definitely think that, you know how Jang-Dong kind of got away from the...
Yes!
Well,
we'll get into
there
this.
There are other people. Wait,
your initial reaction is there could be others. Okay, and Ruth?
There are many others, that's definitely.
Very blunt.
That is it. I'm right.
Let's not forget Azula.
What?
Talk!
Yeah, firebending. Woo, yay.
Yeah, okay, good reaction. And my initial reaction to this was Zuko and Iroh teaming up. That was great. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, the big question is, who are the firebending masters? And we're going to get into this a ton. But first, I think we need to define masters, because that makes a huge thing as to who could qualify as a master. Basically, I'm referring to Zuko here.
Zuko is in a master.
Let's define masters, and I'm going to present you with two definitions. The traditional avatar one, these are from dictionary.com, a person eminently skilled in something as an occupation, art, or science. There you go. That's like... person who's really good at something, like the traditional master, like Master Paku, or
me. I'm the master of many things.
Toph's a master. Okay, but I want
to. Iroh's a master, right?
Yes.
I guess.
Iroh's a master.
I don't think he's ever been appointed, though. So yeah. So let's
appointed?
Go. I don't know. You have to be appointed master. That's true. You have to be told by someone else that you're a master to be a master. That's how it works. But
maybe Zuko is told he's the master.
No way.
Maybe Iroh will tell Zuko in 312.
Yeah, because he finally did the right thing.
I doubt
it, but
I'm looking for the definition I was thinking of. There are like 20 definitions here.
Yeah, and whoever told Toph she was a master?
I don't know, but I don't think she knows what they look like.
Maybe Master Yu at some point, but...
No, according to your definition, Toph is not a
she
master.
She's the greatest earthbender I've ever seen.
That's true,
seen.
Toph is a master.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going by...
Yeah, that wasn't really official, was it?
I'm going from some skewed wiki things. So
I don't think it has to be official. Like,
yeah,
it's
I don't think
part.
It has to be...
So we don't need to get into this. This is a huge debate, so yeah.
You know, I think they need to be more specific about these things. It's like having a library without the Dewey Decimal System. What... You can't do it.
Dude, they're not making any sense.
What? Like, have a long book of all the masters in the world, or what?
No, I'm saying it's like having a bunch of books scattered out. And how are you going to ever find the book? You'll be really upset.
I'm not looking for
out.
The definition. I'm looking for. Okay, so yeah, basically, a master is also a teacher.
Wow, so
basically,
my teachers are masters?
In the Avatar world?
Well, I don't know in the Avatar world, but... Why not? Why couldn't that be the definition? Because basically, I don't see Zhang Zhang randomly coming back in 313, and I don't see anyone else other than Zuko and Iroh being there. So I think you have to think that Zuko could be the Aang's teacher would fit him. So
I'm gonna have to.
We'll get into. You can't necessarily refute Zuko based on the title of the episode and that he's not a master because master could also refer to teacher. So that's the point I wanted to make here.
Exactly.
So any objections to that? To like,
yes.
Any objections to the title, not the title making so he cannot be a master in the episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that, to be honest, we are going to see... We're going to be surprised.
No, I asked if there are any objections to the fact that Zuko would
not
be qualified as a master.
Oh, no, I don't object to
okay,
that.
Okay, see,
Zuko
there you go.
Anything.
That's the point I was trying to make there. And Brian O'Brien has written
you're
many
like a lawyer.
Plots
yeah.
of an episode such as 119 and 218. So he is definitely capable of doing this, Jake. And so, yeah.
No.
Will the defendant please rise?
Objection!
It's time for
what?
Okay.
Dude, what's random?
So let's
I'll
go into
rephrase.
How each of these... several people could be one of the masters, and masters is probably two people. I don't think we'll be seeing three firebending masters there teaching Aang. So yeah,
I think that the whole White Lotus is going to be there, and you're going to see like a bunch of guys who just know
did
what
I
they're
ask
doing.
Ask if the White Lotus is.
I don't think so. No,
they're going to be there. Just take my word for it.
We'll
and
see,
I know
we'll see.
What,
we talked about this last podcast, which you weren't on.
I got one confirmed spoiler though. You want to hear it? Aang is gonna be in the episode. Take my word
for
it.
Oh, wow.
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 Sorry okay. if I spoiled that for anyone. Come on, I'm sorry.
Okay,
so I'm gonna kill you, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so here's let's start with Zuko. Will Zuko be one of the masters? Well, Zuko's gonna be at the temple, and Zuko's gonna be accepted by the group by 313 because that's gonna be the point of 312.
Whoa! Wait, pause here.
No game.
Whoa!
Yes, man.
You're already assuming that masters refers to teachers, but we don't know that for sure yet.
No, it could be teachers or masters. I mean, this is going to be... Okay, does anyone want to argue that this won't be an Aang learning episode?
Maybe it's about Lo and Lee.
Okay, shut up. Anyone want to argue that this won't be an Aang learning?
Well, I'm not going to argue that this is not going to be an Aang teaching episode, but I can argue that there will be an additional parallel storyline, like Azula.
Okay, you could argue that one. Why would they have an Azula's parallel here? I mean, they have eight people at the Western Earth Temple. They need to focus for several episodes there.
And I think that they're going to eradicate Azula soon. She's going to get eradicated.
Come on, they're not going to stay.
She won't.
They're not going to stay at the Western Air Temple.
Well, yes,
for,
there's
like,
an email
the
on
episodes.
That. But, of course. These two episodes are going to be at the Western Air Temple. I'm almost positive of that.
That would be so boring. Come on, that would be very disappointing.
I mean, yeah, once we get into 314, 315, they're going to start going away from the Western Air Temple. But, I mean, maybe. So, yeah. But, yeah. For now, they're at 313. And at Jake's like, you're so close to spoiling something. Okay, so.
Come on, Jake, do it. Peer pressure.
Come on, do it, baby.
See, yeah, Zuko.
That's how
everyone
we get raised.
I think it's pretty obvious Zuko's going to be one of the masters. He's going to be there. He's going to be accepted by the group. And if you apply the teacher definition, I mean, there's one of your two masters right there.
I don't know. If someone tried to kill you, I think I'd be a bit iffy about becoming.
Yeah, we have another email on that, too. And
yeah, and you're making another assumption again, Dylan. You're saying two masters. It never said that there were two
masters. So we could have
two or more. There could be three masters.
Yes, I just said that I don't think it'll be three.
We're just assuming.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Dylan. You know how many masters there could be at the Air Temple?
It could be like five masters.
Five masters there, though.
Yo, you got to show me how to do this one day. I swear to God. That would work so well in school. If I just spoke like that, they'd be like, oh my god, he's so foreign.
Booyah.
Oh, Martin, yeah. Wow, you guys are so random. Okay, so anyone not think Zuko's going to be one of the masters?
Yeah.
Okay, Joe, let's go into your theories.
Oh, no.
All right, you ready?
I don't think
okay.
so.
Ready? I think it's going to be parallel to... There's going to be Ozai in this episode. He's going to be significant... And you're going to see, like, this whole White Lotus thing, and where everyone escaped, I think you're going to see, like, I know Ursa's going to be in this episode, but Zuko is going to be a student with Aang. They're going to learn together from these dudes that are, like, impressive.
Okay, there's your actual theory. So stop going all over the place. Your theory is that Zuko and Aang could learn together, which, because Zuko's
that's
not...
straight.
So, yeah. Edit. So, yeah. That's plausible. Well,
plausible. I like that word.
So we'll get into the second Mythbusters. So yeah, if Zuko and Aang were to learn together, that would be through Iroh and another master, aka Ursa, which we'll get into. So next,
or Zhongtao, or
no,
Zhao,
next,
or Zhao.
I wish.
Zhao is coming back. You know it.
Go face either. Ghost
please,
coming back.
John,
come on,
please.
Or no, the boulder learns fire and then.
Okay. This isn't a shipping special anymore. We can move on.
Oh, my God.
Or next
Yeah, but Dylan, you love the boulder, man.
I do love
it's
the boulder.
It's like the Boland. Like, the Boland.
Okay,
would
next
be, like,
person who is the possibility of being Aang's master. And this is the controversial one, Iroh. So, yeah, last week, basically, you heard me say stuff like, I knew Iroh was going to be there. And I was basing it off this title. I mean, I'm almost 100% sure it's Zuko Iroh, so... That's why I'm Iroh. To me, Iroh's going to show up at the end of 312. I've said this before. And he'll be prominent in 313. So I think that Iroh... Yeah, I think he's one of the masters, definitely. And he's going to be the actual master, while Zuko's just going to be a teacher. It's like Zuko can help Aang more the emotional standpoint and some of the basics, while Iroh will start to advance Aang, maybe like get him started spiritually and... that could be interesting. We could see Iroh's connection to the spirit world here. And
well, this is something
yeah,
you said last podcast. Zuko helping on an emotional level. I mean, what exactly do you mean with Zuko helping on an emotional level,
well,
a Wang fire psychological
Zuko
session.
Zuko overcame an emotional crisis he's been having forever, and he knew what it was like recently to start learning firebending and the troubles he went through. Like, Azula was better than him when they were younger and stuff like that, so he knows how hard it'll be for Aang to learn and stuff like
and
that.
And to
you're not really treating them as humans, Dylan. I mean, if you were human, I'm assuming you are. Would you actually support someone emotionally you've been chasing down a good portion of your life? No.
Yes, I would.
Well, don't be hesitant.
Zuko and Aang
if
are
I were chasing
they,
someone
this is
down,
the
I'd...
little relationship thing that I kind of refuted before. Zuko and Aang are connected spiritually, and they're also connected. You could argue they're connected familially, but they're not actually.
They're not.
Still, you could argue.
Can't argue.
You could argue, but like, they're connected familially through spiritually. There's the answer. So they're not actually connected familially. So,
all right, let's just do something like this. It's platonic. They know
no,
each other.
No, we're not
oh my
even
God.
Talking about that. Wow. So, yeah.
Dude.
We're calling.
Okay, so yeah, Ira. Who thinks Ira will not be at the Westerner Temple at this point?
Raise his hand.
Yo, I'm raising my hand right
Martin,
now.
Martin, because Joe, you've already talked.
Yeah. Well, I've argued about this on previous podcasts, so I'm not going to make my argument twice.
Okay,
Zuko
so
needs
my
time
argument.
With the gang.
Okay, so you're saying Iroh's not going to be based on Zuko needs time with the gang. Okay, I understand
yes.
that. But who will?
Here's
who
my
would
argument.
Be the no? Who would be the master in place of Iroh?
Zuko,
but it's master.
And there's going to be a parallel with Ozai being another master teaching Azula. It's possible.
Ozai teaching Azula?
Azula's like already
not?
Master.
So, teaching her as in something bad.
Well, maybe what could happen is... Guys, maybe what could happen is that Zuko's hot air balloon, it crashes down and Zuko dies and Ursa teaches Aang and Iroh plans down the Fire Nation capital
okay,
and
no.
tries to
you're
overthrow
just...
the government.
That's okay.
Why couldn't that happen?
Okay, there's an argument. As we'll get into this in the mailbag. Iroh could go back into Fire Nation and start a rebellion within there. I don't think
sounds
that's
feasible.
Plausible at all because
I think
everyone,
it's very feasible,
all
bro.
The Fire Nation citizens have already lost respect for Iroh once he failed in Ba Sing Se, and they're all propagandized, remember, anyway. So
yeah, I know, but if you made an example of someone in front of a bunch of people by striking them with lightning,
I don't see that happening. I mean, I can't really argue against it because it's so out there, but I
knew it!
Like, where else is he going to go besides the Westerner Temple?
How is he going to get there is the question. You need to get there by air power.
Well,
and
you have to assume that the White Lotus is in the Westerner Temple and that they'll take him there somehow.
Well, maybe they're not. Can you
assume that?
You have to. Well, how else is
why
he get
would
there?
You...
Well, the if you make an assumption, the first three letters you will be
yes,
that, and the
you, thank you.
Will shun you.
Thank you. You're saying terribly bad stuff, Joe. Okay, so that's a good topic. How is Iroh going to get to the Westerner Temple if he does?
No, let's talk about it right now.
I just
we
said
don't
that.
We know. Yeah, we don't need to know how he gets here. Well, they can just show him arriving. We don't need to see him travel.
Well, I know, but
they're
going to exactly
how he gets
walk
there.
You can't exactly it's walk like, there. It's like, hey, I'm going to walk.
I don't care if just steal a hot air balloon.
We're talking about Iroh, man. He busted himself out of prison.
He'll
with
find
his muscle.
Yeah, but that's not hard to do. You could, like, shoot lightning at the guard, or you could...
It was an
you
eclipse, could... you moron.
Oh.
Oh, my God. What the heck? Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
I didn't think of that.
Iroh can do everything he wants. He doesn't need to show anything.
I don't... Yeah, they're not going to show it. That's what I'm assuming.
He
so,
can
yeah.
fly to the air temple for all he wanted.
Or the guy hands him his dinner, he takes his wrist, he's like, give me the key or I'll, like, break your wrist. And then, like, he gives him the key on top of himself. Then he, like...
Yes, that was the one-man army. Okay. So, yeah. So, basically, it's possible Iroh... There's really nowhere else for Iroh to go. But if you're going to make the argument that Iroh's not going to be at the Western Earth Temple, then you have to have someone else who could be. So, now that's what we're going to get into.
Ursa.
Who are the other possible people that could be the firebending masters? Zhang. It's possible.
Zhao?
No,
come on.
I'm
like
saying
that.
One person here. Zhang's a whole topic. Well, he did have a very ominous ending in 116. But
dun dun dun.
You know, the chances of Zhang coming back are 0.01%, but the only thing that makes me believe that it's more than that is that Tim Hedrick wrote the episode. And you always have to assume that when Tim writes an episode that it's important. And, you know,
but,
there was a whole Zhao Aang fight scene in that episode, and the episode was Aang first learning firebending, and he was burning Katara, and it was all that was important. But I don't know, it just seems to me that there might be something more within there.
Wait, what are we talking about? 313 or 312? Because
we're talking about
313.
We're doing Jiang Jiang coming back in general.
No, please don't.
No, Tim.
Don't break
Tim
you said Tim Hedrick wrote.
Yeah, Tim wrote.
Yo, Tim Hedrick wrote the other thing
about.
Too.
He wrote 116.
312.
Yeah, I know. We're not talking about 312. Tim Hedrick wrote 116. So is it possible that the episode was of more importance than was just shown there? Like Tim came in to develop a character that would be coming back later. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, the episode was of huge importance. Katara learned waterbending and Aang got afraid of fire.
I mean, it could have been without, but I don't know. That there's just little something there. So basically, does anyone want to argue Jiang Dong's actually coming back? And it would be awesome, but anyone want to argue that he is?
I think he's part of the White Lotus. I think he is.
Jiang Dong part of the White Lotus. You could say that since Jiang Dong was... left the Fire Nation, that there'd be nowhere else to go besides the White Lotus, I guess.
I think he just went to the Earth Kingdom. That's where he went. And the only possible way for him to meet up with Aang is if he was with White Lotus.
Yeah.
But I don't really see that. He didn't really have anything like that with him.
Yeah, so I guess it's plausible that Jiang Dong could be part of the White Lotus, but it's almost impossible for him to be coming back, I guess. I mean, if Tim didn't write 116, I'd say it's impossible, but... So, yeah. Does anyone want to argue that he is coming back? Like, not that he's part of the White Lotus, but the White Lotus will bring him back into the season?
This is just random guesswork, man. This isn't based on... This is just too random for me.
No, do you want to argue based on past events? Like, 116, you want to cite evidence in there that he could be coming back?
No.
Okay. You're the one who'd argue most. Okay, so, Ursa.
No, that would be me. And I please don't take that title from me yet.
Okay, Ursa. Obviously, Ursa's going to be of importance. We heard Ozai's part of the story in 311, so... Is Ursa part of the White Lotus?
Well, where else would she be? You can't exactly hide the Fire Lady, even if she wears a disguise. Hey, look, that's the Fire Lady. Like, how easily do you think Bill Clinton or our president would blend in public?
Well,
do you think they should hide her?
We're not talking about the actual president. We're talking about the first lady, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about the wife of a
fire
lord.
There it is. But anyway, the point is that she probably wouldn't have that hard of a time getting out of the Fire Nation. You can always go to the Earth Kingdom. I mean,
but she'd be recognized in a second. She's
why
hated
would she be
by
recognized in the Earth Kingdom? I mean,
yeah, they
the
don't
guys
have
there
television.
Didn't know Prince Zuko's face. They just knew his name. I mean, all she has to do is change her name.
Yeah, they don't have television in the afterworld, man. Why would they know her face? It's not like on posters, on propaganda, everywhere you go, like Ozai's.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, and they don't have a wanted poster out for Ursa either.
Yeah, she was just banished. That was her punishment, and they're done with it. So,
what kind of punishment is a banishment? Come on.
I mean, Ozai still loved her to some degree, so, I mean, it's the best he can do. You have to believe Ozai did love her, I mean.
Why?
Because they're married, and...
Ursa obviously loved him, too.
You could argue that. Yeah, that's
they can get married
topic.
Without loving each other.
Yeah, we haven't seen enough of this, and we don't know enough about... Mike and Brian did confirm arranged marriages, but yeah. Okay, so... Is Ursa part of the White Lotus? Possibly, but probably not. Is she going to be coming back, and is she a firebender, and is she going to be teaching Aang? I mean, all of those happening are just so slim that would all
it's
happen.
It's just guesswork. This
yeah, it is.
Not based on anything, again.
There's absolutely no evidence to support this one, though. So I'm going to say no.
I don't see her as a teacher at all.
I don't
or
see
as a
Ursa
firebender
as
either.
Coming back as a character, even. I just see her as Don.
I see her more as, like, kind of like a two-second thing, and then something happens, and then she's gone.
I don't see her as anything, because we haven't seen her as anything but a mother.
We haven't seen anything but in flashbacks. So yeah, I mean, she's almost definitely. Well, you could argue, how else did she get Azulon to die?
She killed
with
him
with a dagger. You can just stab him.
Yeah, I guess, but you know, it'd be a lot easier. Isn't
him?
Do you talk from experience? I hope not.
Yeah, of course I do. I poison people on a daily basis.
Okay, so yeah, Ursa.
Maybe Ozai really killed him.
Well, yeah, we don't want to get into.
Yeah, he seems like
things.
The kind of guy who would kill his father.
Ozai could have been lying, obviously. When so
they probably teamed up.
It could have been her plan, but it could have been Ozai that carried it out.
Ozai and Ursa
could have blamed her
together.
Yeah. So there's a lot of theories, but the question is Ursa going to be coming back in 312?
Or maybe she was banished because she knew too much.
I just said off the topic, and that's.
I don't think she's going to come back. It's going to distract against Aang's learning to firebend.
There you go.
If she'd come back, it wouldn't be at this time in the series.
Yes, I think if she does come back, it will be towards 316. That's not a spoiler or anything. It's just a...
Alright, well, yeah. I would like to concatenate this discussion by transferring to another topic, please.
No, because we're still a new character. So is a new character going to be
teaching...
trying
to do a transition. Come on,
yeah,
bro.
I know, but we're not
quiet.
So what's the possibility of a new character coming in and teaching Aang firebending? I think that's even less possible than Ursa teaching.
Why? Why is it less possible?
Because look at this point. Have we ever even heard of that? They'll probably make a guy who's deaf teach.
Because, yes, they're going to have a deaf firebending teacher. Wow.
What?
That was terrible.
Oh my god.
They've done one episode teaches before, right?
They have, but they introduced Toph in one episode and learned in another, and they also had development in between. They don't have time to bring in a new character, and character is going to be at the Western Air Temple anyway are the points.
A guru like mega firebending.
Yeah, the guru is a firebender. I see it now.
Okay.
Oh my god. No.
But seriously, if there was a new firebending teacher, we kind of would have seen it in the. Wouldn't Aaron have wrote about it in the magazine?
Oh, by the way, Combustion Man. We always have Combustion Man. He can teach Aaron.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, we'll get into that in the mailbag. We'll get into
don't
that.
Forget
Combustion
about...
Man's an airbender theory in the mailbag segment.
Or,
oh my god, are you serious?
It's actually good reasoning, but, so yeah. No, there's not going to be a new character. I'm not even going to listen to arguments on that. Okay, so there's many possibilities. Let's go to Endlist. Who do you think will the Masters be and explain why? Abby.
I really don't know. I'm just going with what they do. I'm not gonna jump to any conclusions. I think I'll be
disappointed. Jake,
how's the tea, bloke?
I'm drinking tea. Thank you very much.
Coffee, please,
Jake.
Okay. From the moment I heard this title, I was pretty sure that it was gonna be Zuko and Iroh, and I'm sticking by that.
Okay, Martin.
I'm going to say Zuko teaching Aang and Ozai teaching Azula because those two need more screen time.
Okay, James.
Iroh, Ursa, and Zhang Zhang.
Okay, you're making no sense, Ruth.
Oh, wow.
Zuko and Iroh, I think they're going to have time to develop each other and with Aang. And they're going to keep that episode like that. So.
Yeah, again, when I heard the episode title too, Iroh, Zuko right away, there's no other...
You
nothing
realize
could
that masters is plural. That could be more than two.
Yes, but why do they need more than two?
Why not?
It's gonna be
two would make sense.
It's going to be Zuko and Iroh. I'm almost positive. And, having
Iroh secretly an ink firebender.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But having who's the avatar then? But having a parallel to Azula and Ozai at this point in the story is not going to happen, first of all. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, how...
Why?
How
no.
Is it not going to... They just arrived at the Western Air Temple. They have 10 characters there, plus... What?
Okay,
why would they transfer away from there?
They can send a lot of characters away in episode 312, actually. They don't need to have as many characters at 312 as
now. They're probably going to keep... I'll stay there. At least at the end of 312. They're eventually going to leave some of them, but...
Besides, they can just kill them off like Toph and stuff them somewhere in a corner. That's no problem. They can just focus. Go hang
them in a corner. They don't need development. See,
true.
This isn't going to happen. There's not going to be a parallel. And first of all, I could also point out that O'Brien doesn't usually write Zuko's side. Azula's side now, excuse me. But it's like the Fire Nation's point of view.
We need some parallel episodes in a couple episodes.
It's not going to be 313. That's the point. There's going to be parallel episodes and their stories are going to cross paths again. It just doesn't have to happen now. This is way too early. Okay, so effects of Masters in the gang. And basically this was the whole Iroh's going to encourage Cat Aang thing.
Well, let's just say they can't be... Let's just
true
eliminate...
True love is always good.
Yeah, basically...
Let's just eliminate the most stupid option. It can't be to teach him firebending. Why would they do that?
Oh yeah, they're gonna go on a double date. Toph and Sokka and Katara and Zuko and Iroh is gonna make them dinner, right? Yeah, Zuko's gonna be the waiter.
Okay, you guys are. And therefore,
Zutara's gonna happen.
Okay,
indeed.
Now we're gonna have three people saying that. Wow. Okay, so effects of masters in the game. What I meant was this is like Iroh is going to be telling Aang about his situation in Love versus Power and stuff like that. It's effects basically on the main storyline. Zuko could be helping Aang from an emotional standpoint, and also Zuko could be developing their little relationship, which I think that may be the twist, Zuko and Aang's
there's
relationship.
There's one thing I want to ask you, Dylan.
Yeah.
Why do you always assume every episode is jam-packed with relevant storyline plot lines?
Because this one will be.
Why are you saying agree that? With you?
Because it's the firebending man.
Look at the runaway. That's just empty.
That's why would it be? John O'Brien didn't write this. John O'Brien is a filler writer. Okay, stupid. But once I get over that... you didn't hear me say anything. He's also written very plot episodes. They're giving another chance at a plot episode. There's no such thing as a filler episode for these last nine. It's not in their vocabulary.
There's no
anymore choice.
I'm just going to disagree with you. There's going to be one or two comic relief episodes with little.
Yes, no.
If there is a comic relief episode, this is it. Because O'Brien's writing this. This is the foundations for Kat Aang, but it's going to be developing the storyline. It's going to be them teaching firebending. I think this also will be a comedic episode, though.
So no this episode for Sparrow, then. Just give us some...
Shut up!
Relax. Yeah, amusing.
I think this episode will be more
now.
In the style
Joe, Jake is
of the library.
It's going to be
I
what?
I think this will be more in the style of the library that John and Brian also wrote. It's more of a serious episode, but it's also got its, like...
I agree with that. The library advanced the plot a ton, but it also... Yeah, it has comedic elements. Like, I want to spend my vacation at the library. So, yeah, that's Jody's favorite quote. So,
at the library!
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I say every time I go to the library. Seriously,
I don't really... I wouldn't really want to spend my vacation in a library. I'd kind of want to go to somewhere more relaxing.
That's the joke!
Oh my god, Joe!
Other events in the episode. See, there's the possibility of Kat Aang, there's the possibility of developing the minor characters, there's all these things, the White Lotus or storyline, Ursa storyline, side story. You know, I don't know, I just think this episode won't be that... It's still going to be story, but I don't see it being deep. Like, we're going to find out exactly what happened to Ursa, or we're going to find out the history of the White Lotus in this episode.
It'll just be Aang training.
I don't know, but could I say...
Aang training, character development with...
The waterbending scroll.
Yeah, a lot of that.
I don't even think it'll be as deep as the waterbending scroll.
Guys, I got a theory for you, actually.
Yeah, okay, Joe, as long as it's
the history, the history of the White Lotus. No. By any chance, who thinks that... The Airbenders created the White Lotus.
Yeah, that's a major theory. Okay. I don't really want to talk about that right now. So what are your expectations?
Dylan's
going to
spoil something. Nah.
I don't have spoilers on the White Lotus.
What the heck?
Dylan, I don't have spoilers.
Joe!
So yeah,
he's lying to you. He knows everything. He even knows the finale.
I know exactly how the end.
We know exactly how the series is going to end.
Because
we
just won't tell you.
Yeah,
you're right. I would believe that. I'd believe it.
You would.
You know everything.
Okay.
You point that.
We've seen the scripts for the last six episodes.
They've been leaked. Okay, and we're gonna sell them to AvatarChapter.com. You must enter your email to see it. Okay, so what's everyone's expectations?
Why don't you send them fake episode things?
We might. That's a good idea. So now that's public this weekend. Okay, expectations for 313. How good of an episode do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
I think this is... I have high expectations this episode.
Basically. Wait, hold on. Jake, what's your opinion on it?
Jake thinks it's going to suck because it's written by O'Brien.
Yeah, then I definitely like it. If Jake thought it was good, then I'd hate it.
So
then I'm going to say it's going to suck. Just argue for the sake of argument.
No, argue with Jake, not me.
I think this is going to be an amazing episode. This is a lot of potential from my point of view.
I actually think this will be a good episode.
I mean,
it's
the fact of them training
like I said, the library.
At the Western Air Temple with possibility of Iroh advice, Zuko angst, all this, like, and maybe Kat Aang all in the one episode. That would be amazing. I don't know.
Way to say if this is going to be a good or bad episode from this little information.
Assuming what we think is going to happen is...
Well, you know they say about people who assume.
You just said that! Okay. I'm here at this. Okay, That segment went on way too long anyway. So yeah, let's get into our extremely long mailbag segment. Okay, the mailbag segment is where we answer emails you send, questions you send in an avatar and address comments on the podcast. You can send questions to podcast@dongwufeng.net. Because there are so many letters this week, I only included those that asked a question that wasn't addressed before. I mean, I usually don't answer anything, but we had like 28 freaking letters. I mean, that's great. And I read them all twice. Seriously, I like read them once when we get them and I
twice.
Read them again when I put them in the thing. So I read them all. And I also only included the question parts of the email. Like the parts that talk about comments on the podcast, stuff like that, I didn't include because we don't have enough time. But just keep sending those. I mean, just keep the format of the emails you guys are sending right now. It's really good. And it helps me a lot, but we just don't have time for all of them on the mailbag.
Okay, so Ken writes, well, I was wondering how you recorded your show. I'm in charge of a podcast project for my friend's site, and people all over the country want to participate. I was wondering if you all recorded in a studio together, or if you had some kind of live recording program you wouldn't mind sharing with me.
Skype. We recorded
Skype.
Skype.com. Yeah, and then the trick is trying... Okay, so basically, yeah, we don't... Yeah, so we've never met any of each other. We record online, we record on Skype, Skype.com, and then the trick is trying to find a way to record Skype. You're on your own with that. I've spent months and months researching that, and I've only come up with a few good recording programs, and they all cost money, so yeah. And then I edit in Audacity, and yeah. So yeah, it's
Odyssey.
Audacity, I know. That's how I originally pronounced it. So yeah, Audacity is amazing.
So, that's like saying epitome instead of epitome.
Joe, you're just crazy. Wow. Okay, Jake.
Robert writes, what I would like to hear your take on is, with the primary cast right now standing at 8 people, including Zuko, and with a large amount of stuff to do before the end of the series, what do you think of them splitting off into several smaller groups to accomplish different tasks? This wouldn't happen right away, perhaps around 3:15 or 3:16. It would give characters whose roles have been diminishing, such as Toph, a chance to be more involved in the story again, as well as allowing many old characters and locations to be reintroduced, given that this is supposedly the last season with this cast. Also, assuming Aang beats Ozai, or Azula if they go that route, wins the war and lives, what else is in store for him?
Okay, two questions here. First of all, yes, this is unfortunately the last season of Avatar.
Yes.
It's not.
This is very depressing.
There's two takes on this. First of all, I don't see them splitting into groups of two and then going off to do separate tasks. Like, at Toph and Sokka, you go take over, you go get Omashu and stuff like that, and...
Yeah, they're not going
to go. Actually, I see that being very logical, but I don't see it happening due to the interest of time.
It's not logical, even.
What will happen, or could happen, is that, like, I mean, I see people of those 9 leaving. I mean...
8.
Iroh. But I see, yeah.
I definitely see
people of those 9. I mean, they're going to go off on tasks, but I think they're going to do it as a group. So, yeah, they're going to leave the Western Air Temple eventually, but I don't see them splitting up like small groups. Maybe groups... Maybe
Haru
groups.
Will die.
I hope so, but maybe, like...
YMCA.
That's so true. What? So true. Okay.
Hey, well, he shouldn't have grown a mustache, yeah, like, and it looks bad.
Okay, so, I guess that kind of answers. It's a complicated question. We'll go into it more once we start looking at some of the later titles. And
it's almost as complicated as the word concatenate. Does anyone know what that means?
No.
This is what the podcast missed the last couple weeks? Okay, so yeah. assuming Aang beats Ozai, wins the war and lies, what else in store for him? They see a whole paragraph and decide to cut it out.
The restoration of the air station.
Yeah. Several goals after this. First, they have to keep peace and restore it. Like, you could, I don't think Aang will be involved directly in treaties and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I think he'll be a very big hippie by doing that.
No, what I'm trying to say is I think once Aang wins the war, I think he's going to have his own life. I mean, because we saw Roku living on his own. He wasn't necessarily, like, going in everyday tasks of... Well, there's a small conflict in this village. We have to go stop it and stuff like that.
Well, that's bogus. Come on, what do you do? You have all this power. You're gonna waste it. Why not at least cause trouble?
I think Aang's gonna start to at least settle down, like after like 10 years. But And then, yeah. And then, obviously, history, I mean, like the nomads. So, yeah, this is all the theoretical season four, which could have already been written, but it's not happening. So, yeah.
But why settle down? I mean, it's not going to be fun anymore.
Well, why did Roku settle down? Hey, man,
avatars have a life, too, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but, hey. Like...
Hey, on us?
Yeah.
Guys, but, like, you don't understand. Like, after you have this much power... And you're not going to use
Don't argue the 306, okay? I'm citing an episode here. Okay,
Okay, I'll accept
No, no, Joe, we don't have time, Martin.
I'm agreeing with you.
Jimmy writes, do you think Zuko will be accepted by the others? And are Sokka's master, Zhongzhong and Ursa, in the Order of the White Lotus?
Okay, Zuko accepted by the others, yes, he's going to...
Actually,
I don't know, I think... just don't talk here. But,
eventually...
obviously he's not gonna be accepted right away, but I think it'll take some time. He's gonna be there within 312, I think. And then, I don't know, probably not until 313, the full acceptance of him, I guess. I don't know.
Aang will accept him, I think.
It'll be interesting to see what Aang does. Aang's usually quick to accept, as he's accepting, as you saw with Jet, but... Zuko's also his enemy. So, like,
well, he is the avatar.
See,
if Aang would read the internet once in a while, he would see that Zuko is really a fashion-loving, awesome person.
Yeah, exactly. Except he's not. So,
Sokka's master. If only he could read English.
Piando obviously is part of the White Lotus. That was the whole point of that episode. Zhongzhong, no, I don't think so. And Ursa, we've discussed those two. Okay, so yeah. Pianda was part of White Lotus. That's the story that needs to be resolved. Next. Joe.
Lisa writes, I just have to comment about your discussion about Katara and why she did not go on the ground with the others.
Say it correctly.
Dylan said that he did not think that the writers talked to each other when writing their episodes, but I completely disagree. Now, I'm no expert on this subject,
I understand the development of the plot of each episode is a group effort.
Thank you.
One other thing.
I think we will see Combustion Man again. I don't think Mr. Sparky Sparky is the type that would step down from after a bunch of kids defeated him. I mean, if his eye is permanently damaged, he'll be seeking vengeance. Plus, I think that having the Combustion Man is still chasing the gang, it could work very well with Zuko plot. Imagine. Zuko trying to convince the gang that he's changed, and then it coming out that he is one that sent the Combustion Man.
Okay, first of all, Joe, you suck at reading.
I told you, I can't read.
The first part of this, the writers communicate, obviously. I mean, Jake and I, we kind of know best, but yes, the writers...
No, they don't communicate, they can't
the
even
The writers
speak.
Communicate. I just don't think that because Aaron was the head writer, I think Aaron's usually the one that's... giving out plot points for this episode, so I don't think that he was specifically telling Mike what he was going to accomplish with Azula baiting them. That was the point I was trying to make. So, yeah.
Why wouldn't he?
Well, I mean, why would he?
Why would
he's
not?
The head writer.
We've had this discussion before, right?
Yeah.
I completely agree.
You're agreeing to what?
With what?
So, yeah,
I don't know, bro.
You know, I don't think... We have another email on Combustion Man. I don't see him coming back. It would work well with the Zuko plot, but the Zuko plot for now needs to be accomplished in 1 and 1.5 episodes, so there's not time for the Combustion Man to come back and have this whole thing with him, so he's gone, basically.
Spocky, Spocky, boom, man.
Well, yeah. That's just stupid, man. Why couldn't he come back in that 312?
Well, if you want 20 more episodes, then he can come back. But you only have 9 more, so there's not time for him.
They can bring him back for like 5 minutes. They don't need to spend 30 minutes on the Combustion Man.
If he's not,
I firmly agree.
He's probably not coming back.
He's not. Okay, so next.
Zoe writes, "What is everyone's honest opinion on Azula's fate? The fandom hates Azula so much, even those of us who love her." Love to hate her, but want to see her suffer for evil manipulation of Sokka in 311. As we know, she was literally born bad, since she was thrilled even as a kid to hear her father was going to murder Zuko. Can she actually survive the end of Book 3, perhaps as a prisoner, or will she have to die, or be ended, for the game to triumph? And how will this be addressed in the show without getting censored?
First off, read the Diary of Anne Frank. People aren't born evil.
Oh my god.
We are still reading that in English like right now. Wow.
Okay, so I don't know. You could. Was there two questions here? Or was there one question? What is?
I don't know, but I think your fate is that she's going to get killed.
Honest opinion. She's going to die. Okay, let's do this first. What do you want Azula to die or not? Like
yes.
From your point of view.
No.
Yes.
For me. Yeah. I've conflicting points. You're playing devil's advocate. I don't want her to die, but I also read this fan fiction where she's completely evil.
Stop reading fan fiction.
And they're already. So yeah, there's the possibility that she ruins everything later, and I don't want that to happen. So yeah.
Yeah, she tries to get Aang to.
Dylan, reading fan fiction eats your mind.
It does, but it's amazing. So, it's actually the one I reviewed.
Fan fiction is life.
It is.
Fan fiction is life.
I really like Azula's perfect evilness, and I don't think she should be changed, really. Like, out of her evilness and...
Yeah,
that's why they need to kill her. That's the only way.
Azula's probably going to die.
Azula's
too evil, so she's going to have to die. That's the whole thing.
I love that. Yeah, that's why they're going to need to kill her. Keep her in line.
You're so bad.
Anyone want to disagree with the fact that she's going to die at the end because she's too evil?
She's not going to die.
And by the way, fan fiction...
I don't want her to die, but I think she is.
It's like reading the Communist Manifesto.
What?
By the way, Ko is running for president with the Communist Party. Okay, so next. UDK writes, I think the reason that Ozai didn't seem to do anything before now is because they wanted to keep the mysterious atmosphere about him that they had in seasons 1 and 2. And although he didn't seem to do anything, he probably sent Azula and Zhao off to take care of Ba Sing Se and the Water Tribe. So unless you're taking from spoilers, you can't go in depth to Ozai's character. And Zuko beat him the first time we've seen Ozai use firebending, and I don't think he's more powerful than Azula. So I don't know how you can justify him being more powerful than the fact that we've only seen him one fight. Okay, we've been over the fact that he's mysterious, we've been over the fact that he sent them, but the fact that he wasn't doing it himself, and the fact that he wasn't that involved with them, saying, you go do this. Zhao formulated the plan, Zhao did everything. Zhao, I don't know why, I'm still saying Zhao.
Zhao.
Zhao, find the scrolls in the library.
He's legendary. Get his name right.
He is. Zhao, the legendary Avatar podcast. So, we're not taking spoilers, and the fact was Zuko countered it, but anyone could have countered the lightning. I mean, lightning's a risk skill, because if a person can, it doesn't matter how powerful your lightning is, you can redirect it, basically. So Zuko...
If you know how.
Yeah, if you know how to redirect it, you can redirect it. Like, even if it was just, like, Azula's lightning, if Zuko knew how, he could redirect it the same as Ozai. So Ozai was amazingly powerful in that scene. And as we'll see in another email, it could have been even less of his power. So it wasn't the fact that Zuko beat him. Zuko, like, he countered him. He didn't beat him, because it wasn't a fair fight. I mean, it was just, like, this one little thing. So, yeah, Ozai's really powerful, as we've seen.
Okay, yeah, I got a question, actually, for you, Dylan, since you know all. You know how, like, as fire gets hotter, it gets, like, the colors.
Yeah, we've been over this. Okay.
You think it'll have violet fire is my question.
What? Because, like, that was random.
No, Azula has... Hold on. Regular firebenders have the...
No, because violet fire is not a real shade of fire.
All right, well, the hottest color. You think he'll have, like, a purple fire?
A white fire?
You know how...
White fire?
Yeah, white fire.
Wasn't Ozai's lightning white?
Yeah, but I don't know. Was that white lightning? Or?
I think it was. I mean, it was. There was obviously that dark. I don't know. It was kind of blue. I don't. Whatever. We don't need to go in this right now.
We need to do this.
That's a good topic.
No, we don't.
Yes.
Nina writes, how or when did you first become a true Avatar fan? Was there a moment or an episode where it just hit you, or was it more gradual, from the very instant it aired, like it was for me? Perhaps a bit later. Also, what was or is it about Avatar that draws you in, other than shipping? Because for me, as an epic fantasy story lover, I am so intrigued by the depth of this show. The fact that there is an entire world and history to it, and the fact that I can have 2-hour-long discussions with my dad about the climate and seasons of the Avatar world is just wow. Never, though, thought a kids' show could do that for me.
Man, you're not a very good reader.
Yeah, Jake wasn't good.
Shut time. Up.
Okay, so we can go down the list now. For me, well, first, every new show I discount. So, obviously, when Avatar came on Nick first, I discounted it. But when I finally watched an episode, it was right away that I was a fan of it. So, and that first episode was Winter Solstice Part 1. And what drew me into it? Well, obviously the story. Because, I mean, basically what drew me into Avatar was the spirit world. And that's why I love this title so much, the podcast. But just seeing the spirit world and how in-depth that storyline was made me want to go back on all the episodes and watch more of that. Avi?
Okay.
Well, I jumped in on a Jet, and I thought it was just, like, awesome, because Jet's awesome. So, yeah.
So what draws you to story?
I'm thinking. Mostly, like, the philosophical stuff and, like, Asian culture, because I think it's awesome.
Okay.
I don't know.
Jake?
Well, truth be told, when it first aired, I thought it was a little bit weird, but then I got to see some of the other episodes, and I thought it was a really cool show, and that's how I got into it.
That's reassuring.
What draws you into Avatar, Jake?
The you complex like writing animation? And storylines, and the animation. And they have
I was
awesome
right!
The characters, too. They have very deep characters, very good characters. I like the characters.
Yeah, those characters, especially. Okay, Martin?
Well, the first episode... shut up. The first episode I ever saw was Jet. I immediately recognized the cool backgrounds, and I thought, man, this is a show that had a lot of effort put in it. So after that, I immediately went to download, sorry Dylan, all the other episodes. And once I actually saw The Siege of North, I fell in love, and I've never looked out of it.
Because those two episodes, by the way, Martin has a religious cult over The Siege of North, keep going.
Because those two episodes are just, they have everything, they have romance, they have great humor, they have great background design, great animation, great writing, great
also,
voice
Martin
acting.
Also, Martin is obsessed with the backgrounds.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with backgrounds, so the Siege of North really enthralled
me. Background power.
Okay, Joe.
Background power, indeed.
Have you ever noticed, like, in Pokemon, whenever, like, the Pokemon go crazy?
So random.
Pokemon background.
What? Joe, go.
Okay. Now, the first episode that I saw was The Great Divide. And after I saw that, I decided
you
I was
like the show.
Hold on, let me finish. Though.
Brian's
okay.
Genius, Joe, man.
Yeah. After that, I realized I was never gonna watch the show again until I saw the Sage of the North Pole. And then I realized that if any show could have some spiritual monster come out and kill millions of people, that it was okay with me.
Joe's in it for the day.
But then. I realized that, like, there were no new episodes after that, so then I was like, what happened? And then I discovered dongwufang.net, and I became a fandom.
You discovered dongwufang at the end of season 2, okay.
No, actually, I had been on it for a long time, but
I didn't exist then.
Sure.
You may have discovered TV.com, and not dongwufang. Okay, Ruth.
Been around for a while.
I watched the first few episodes on YTV just on and off, and I was like, oh, Avatar's on, I gotta watch it. And I couldn't get into the plot really early because they were kind of messed up when I watched them, but I was really entranced by how the episodes are so well put together in all the areas. Mm-hmm. Like, just all the areas are so much effort put into it. And I started going into the fandom in about season 2 after I found where to watch all the season 2 episodes. I got really into Taka and stuff. So,
Taka.
And then I started joining the fandom and stuff. Yep.
Okay, so... great email, Mino.
Yep.
Mina!
Those are the type of question I want you guys to ask. Those are fun to answer. Okay, so next... Martin, you get to read the long one. Go.
Shut up. Ian writes. Personally, Ian writes. Forgive me for I am Dutch. That's how I would sound it. Okay, shut up. Personally, I think that a character, the Combustion Man, that is so strong and has developed a new type of bending is too important to be gone completely. without any real closure to his story. Now, I personally have not seen the Comic-Con poster that featured him, Aang and Zuko, but it seems if he is important enough to put in the poster, then he may possibly have more significance to the story. My theory for Combustion Man is as follows. 100 or less years ago, the Air Nomads were defeated by the Fire Nation. What if some of the Airbenders escaped and took refuge in the Fire Nation as commoners in hiding, like Hama? I have noticed, as have others, that the Combustion Man, his stomach, which is the location of the fire chakra, please forgive the spelling, that was correct spelling by the way, and the tattoo on his forehead, with which is the location of the light chakra, to perform his bending. Also, the actual art of combustion is, in the most basic form, the reaction of light and or heat with oxygen. My theory is that perhaps the airbenders that survived discovered a way to develop these two chakras in such a way that when combined with airbending gives an illusion of firebending. This would ensure their survival and allow them to live free from persecution of Fire Nation. The fact that CN was pictured with Aang and Zuko might be foreshadowing a connection between fire and airbending.
Okay, so yeah, good theory. Not true though.
The Fire Nation totally, they took out all the airbenders.
Liars!
No, it's possible. Theory. I mean, it's possible one or two escaped on a bison. I mean, you can't deny that.
I refuse to believe your treacherous lies, Dylan. Avatar the Last Airbender, it's a lie. They're lying to you.
Shut up. We've been over.
Oh
my god.
After this, he talks about how Combustion Man's not really an airbender anymore, so he gets around the title. But, that's true. They did have that whole connection with the chakras and stuff, and combustion, and... I don't think he's an airbender. He's gone from the story. I mean, yeah, I think.
Can I give my comments on this?
Yeah.
Sure thing.
Well, sure. Right before he blows the combustion ray thing, he takes this deep breath. And we had this very big rant in episode Bitter Work that firebending was about the breath. So the breathing should have been an indication for you that this is in fact just regular firebending, just through other means than Kung Fu. Why would you need Kung Fu to summon flames? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Combustion Man just learned it to channel his fire in an other way, a more effective way. That doesn't mean he is combining it with airbending. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, exactly. And it's not his stomach which is breathing. It's his lungs. That's the.
Yeah, that's just his diaphragm.
That's how properly to breathe when playing wind instruments.
Okay, let's not talk.
All right, and wait, hold on. To further rain on your parade, I saw in Comic-Con that they said that there were no. Some guy asked. Would there be, partial avatars that could learn two or three elements? Mike said, no. It's either all four or just one or none.
Pretty sure Brian was there.
Or it was one of those dudes.
It was one of those dudes who created the show we're having a podcast on. So,
wow. Yeah. Wow.
All right.
The poster doesn't necessarily mean Combustion Man's important. It means that they're trying to hype the season and he looks really cool. That's the whole thing. This is not true. But that's really good, well-developed theory, stuff like that.
And all right, ready? That's good. All right, ready?
Go.
No.
Rinke writes, I have to disagree with you on Top and Sokka are dead, Pot. Sokka and especially Top are very important when it comes to facing the Fire Lord and helping Aang defeat him. Where would Aang be without Top? They would not have gotten very far with the invasion without Toph's metal bending. And Sokka, well, if it wasn't for the comic relief, he would be very dead. I also have a question. Since fire has blue fire and lightning, earth has sand and metal, and water has healing and blood bending. What is the special bending for air? And what if I actually was climate control?
Climate bending.
Climate bending. I hate Al Gore. He's a horrible man. Okay. Could get some help from the airbenders then.
Okay, wow. Several awesome points in here.
We hate Al Gore. We don't like him.
Okay, Al Gore is amazing, first of all.
And no, he's not.
Yes, he is. And we're not having a political
debate. Al Gore is officially hated by the podcast.
No, he's not.
True. Al Gore sucks.
You can't hate a guy for trying to care about the environment. And... okay, so
it's not the only reason he sucks.
What was I going to get into? Basically, the whole point was that they were adding in Toph's metal bending to advance that as like an advance for a character in the invasion, and that it was trying to compensate for the fact that there was nothing else. And Sokka's comic relief—that's like past stuff. We're talking about future and present. And of course, Sokka's the comic relief guy, but they could obviously advance the story without that. So yeah. What's the fire has blue, what is the special bending for air? First of all, climate bending is totally going to happen, and it's going to happen in 312, along with Azula invading the Western Air Temple.
No, it's going to be sound bending. Mark my words.
Sound bending. That's it.
Sound bending. Just as good as anything else.
Climate bending is amazing, but it doesn't make any sense because climate is the elements. So yeah.
On the other hand, I know there. Another kind of bending. They could do... You ready for this?
Aight.
They can bend... space!
No, yes! Space-time continuum bending!
Oh, wow. Yes!
No. Wait, yes! Because they could fly, and they could use air power to get to the space, and then they could bend the planet to make it like, yo, I'm putting Mercury...
next email, please.
Okay, yes, okay. Travel!
Lynn writes, do you think that we will see anything this season on Avatar Kuruk? I left out Yang Chen because I have a feeling that there might be something on her in 312. Thanks.
No. Next.
What? No. Okay. No.
Okay, basically, when the creators were trying to confirm whether Escape was canon or not, they said, I guess it would be canon since we wrote it as canon as to be part of the storyline. In between season 2 and 3. That is inferring that Yang Chen and Kuruk will not be mentioned in season 3 at all, just in that in the Avatar Escape.
Yang Chen is going to be mentioned.
What?
Isn't he Jamaican?
Mike, I think, confirmed it in an interview that there's going to be something in one of the upcoming episodes that's going to have Yang Chen in it.
Well, I don't think so. Right. I mean, that's the feeling.
Dylan,
whatever, it doesn't matter.
He's better not having pronounce a big, the next name right.
He's
you
not having
pronounce-
a big part anyway. Okay, Chantel writes... I know how to pronounce that. I also want you to know if you guys would do an unedited podcast for listeners. Most of the people who listen are mature anyways. It seems every podcast you guys have to hide or edit something out. But I know that a lot of us like to hear everything.
I totally agree.
We're a G-rated podcast.
You don't want to hear everything.
Yeah, okay.
We G-rated. Basically don't say that much that you guys don't hear. I mean, I edit it, but I just take out some words. We don't really talk about inappropriate stuff because it's a G-rated podcast.
Except for
there's a
KS.
Possibility that we could, have a PG, we could have a PG-13 rated podcast in like 6 months, but that would only be if we're incredibly bored after the show has ended and we have nothing else to do. So yeah, it's a G-rated podcast, and it's a good G-rated podcast. It like pushes the PG-13 boundary while still being G, so that's why it's awesome. See you next.
Jay writes, I just want to throw this out there. Firebending is weakened in an eclipse, right? Even in a partial eclipse. Well, when the Fire Lord shot lightning at Zuko, the sun was barely unblocked. So imagine what it would be like in full sunlight power.
I totally agree.
Well, you know, I was thinking that. So yeah, I was just afraid to bring that up because, it's true. Basically, that quite possibly could have been like 1/10 of Ozai's power. That's why it's...
More like a 1/100 of it.
Yeah, seriously.
Imagine, he could, light the whole world on fire. Seeing as Fire Lord...
So, yeah. But you could also argue that the eclipse didn't block off any of the sun anymore, so you could just, the all of the sun could, come from the left of the eclipse that's blocking off instead of, the front, because it doesn't really block off.
No. You could argue
that the heat would find a way around it anyway, because it's not blocked anymore.
No, you can't do that. You just don't do that.
Azula was still able to have blue fire. So
yeah, so you could definitely argue. Okay.
Well, it's not about the power when it comes to having blue fire. It's about the technique, the precision.
Next.
Give me another word.
Next. Next. Jake.
You should be on that show next.
Casey. What?
Casey.
K- Casey writes, Toph isn't some throwaway character. She's just as important as the rest of the gang. The same with Sokka. Their fates are intertwined with Aang's. What would we do if the Fire Nation captured all of them except Toph? How would they burst out of their cells? Toph would come and be a superheroine and save the day. And what would we do without the ingenious Sokka? He thought of the design of the submarines that got them past the gates of Sozin, which is actually Zulon, but
yeah.
You need to give the characters much more credit.
Yeah, we saw his very advanced drawings. Yeah, I'd just like to comment on how advanced they were.
Toph, yeah, the thing is that... Joe, take your headset away from your microphone.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, the thing is that that's a theoretical statement. It hasn't happened and it won't happen. So that's why Toph busting them out. It's like, how is that going to advance her character? That hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. So yeah. Toph doesn't have much there. And Ingenious Sokka, well, his development is done planning. That's the whole point. He's done planning, so what's he going to do now?
Yeah, the whole Sokka thing was speculation for the upcoming episodes, not the current.
Yeah, it was speculation. It's not what's happened in the past, because Sokka wasn't dead in the past. He could be dead from now on, though.
Okay, to be honest, Martin. Though, I mean, 100% like honesty, like those like drawings that he's supposed to be ingenious.
Martin, go.
I've seen that.
Gunfan writes, I have a question on skin color, specifically why the water tribes who live at the poles have dark skin and the Fire Nation who live at the equator have light skin, since they are radically different from what would occur in real life situations, and also because it doesn't seem to affect the sandbenders who live in a hot climate also. I want to know if it was just a decision by the writers to make cultures of the series in Avatar separate from real life cultures, or is there actual explanation behind it?
You know, this is one of those things that the creator's like,
let me answer. Let me answer.
The world is round. Oh, yeah, that would make sense. But we didn't think of that in the first place. So, yeah, there's no real reason. They just...
There are Eskimos with that skin color near in Canada, I think.
It's not quite that dark. And the point is that, yeah.
It is that dark.
The firebenders would have a darker skin color. That's fact.
Yeah.
I could argue
that there could be a specific thing with that, the UV rays and the sun could be different in Avatar World, stuff like that. But we're assuming it's the same as the regular world. So
you're actually incorrect. Dude, you're incorrect. You know that the sun at the North and South Pole, you could get sunburn there. Worse,
yes, we get that.
That's why.
Right. True. But it doesn't explain the equator one, and
it does. Yeah. They're so used to the fire, it's like nothing for them. They're like, I got skin color, and like that's why they're so like.
What? That doesn't make their skin lighter. And see, this was an overlay, something that's overlooked by the creators.
No, there could be an explanation.
They didn't come up with it. That's the point. They didn't jump into it.
Now wait. Let me give the explanation. The Fire Nation could be an ex-colony of the Earth Kingdom, and therefore they are descendants of the Earth Kingdom, and therefore they have a similar skin.
Well, then you could argue, why does the Earth Kingdom not have the same skin color? Yeah,
it all depends on how they started out, and you never know how they started out, so why even bother?
Yeah, it's not worth getting into. Okay. Miss Mary Jones, right? This is to inform you that you have been that you have won prize money of $1 million for this year 2007 lottery promotion, which is organized by Eco Was Donations 2007. Collects all email addresses of the people that are active online and among millions that subscribe to the internet. We only select 5 people every year as our winners. No electronic voting system throughout the winter applying. We congratulate you for being one of the people select.
I claim 50%.
No, I'm a very active member of the internet. I've subscribed there for a while. You know, it's a great place. The internet.
Wow.
I would just first like to comment that that I should get the money because I don't have.
Oh wow.
Also, how is this Avatar related, Mrs. Mary Jones?
Oh wait, I can make it Avatar. Wait, I can make it Avatar related. Watch this. This is to inform you that Avatar, you have won prize Avatar money.
We've done this before. I remember specifically making an email Avatar related like that. So yeah, basically this is to show that we do get tons of friggin' spam email.
Yes.
I'm going to write a spam
email. That was an especially hilarious one, though.
How about the money? Where's my money?
Martin, what are you hiding?
Martin, you get no money.
I'm hiding it. I'm hiding it all.
Yeah, Jake has the money. I can see now. You trace the IP address. You go to the person. You show up on the front door. Yo, where's my money?
Wow. Martin, that's interesting because Martin was talking about that before showing up at random people's house. Okay, so yeah. Okay, that's enough. Let's move on to... Oh, yeah, let's move on to closing. Okay, that's all for this week's podcast. Send us questions at podcast.dongwufeng.net. Send us questions about Avatar at the mailbag segment. And yeah, so I've been your main host for today. Co-hosts have been Abby, Jake, Martin, Peter, and Ruth. Joe, not Peter, excuse me. And technical director AJ and Kevin, and music arrangement by Luke Tripp. I edit, and Dongwufeng's owned by Jake. So next podcast will be a shipping special 2. Which we already recorded previously to this, and it's fairly, might be the most hilarious podcast ever, I've got to say. There's Martin takes the lead as the most bleeped co-host ever, as he gets bleeped like 5 times next podcast, so you gotta listen.
No, I'm gonna beat him. Watch.
No. Okay. Don't do it.
It's all. It's all.
Okay, so let's have a unison.
A unison Zuko.
No.
Yes.
No.
Why not?
What did we even talk about? Let's just have unison by. One.
No. How about we say it individually?
1, 2, 3.
Goodbye.
Bye. No, so not unison.